Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so happy and grateful to be here with you today, along with my co-host for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us. Well, it was 1 year ago this weekend that we launched the very first Pro-Life to the Max show, and that was on Friday, September 7th. In 2018. So Rhonda and I are going to spend time today thanking God for this grace and for you, our listeners. And we're going to do some reminiscing about a few of the past shows. But as always, we're going to start off in prayer, invoking the patron and protector of this program, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe.
St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and for your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God, our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, this week's in the news.
In what appears to be the backfiring of a boycott called for on the state of Georgia, the website Project Casting is reporting that the state is quickly taking over the television and film industry, with 39 movies and TV shows scheduled to be filmed there during the month of September. Earlier this year, Hollywood had called for a boycott from actors and production companies after Governor Brian Kemp signed legislation that would ban most abortions after a baby's heartbeat is detected. In 2008, a state credit was established giving production companies up to a 30% tax break for filming in the Peach State. The state is also considered the number one filming location in the world. And an article appearing at lifenews.com says that South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg is calling it immoral for Christians to ignore climate change, but that abortion up to the moment of birth is perfectly fine. In a town hall meeting this past Wednesday addressing climate change, Buttigieg said, quote, "If you believe that God is watching as poison is being belched into the air of creation and people are being harmed by it, what do you suppose God thinks of that? I bet he thinks it's messed up. At least one way of talking about this is that it's a kind of sin," close quote. Life News pointed out that as mayor of South Bend, Buttigieg tried to stop a pregnancy care center from opening up down the street from a new abortion facility and then celebrated when Whole Women's Health, an abortion chain with dozens of health and safety violations, opened up a new location in the city without a state license. And a preliminary evidentiary hearing against pro-life investigators David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt began in San Francisco this past Tuesday. The Thomas More Society and Liberty Council are defending DeLeiden and Merritt against felony charges brought by former Attorney General and Democratic presidential hopeful Kamala Harris. In a statement given to Live Action, DeLeiden said that abortionists, along with STEM Express leadership, will take the stand to testify about the statements made in the Center for Medical Progress 2015 undercover videos that showed officials discussing the sales of tissues and organs recordings obtained from unborn babies that had been aborted. My defense lawyers will cross-examine the witnesses about their deeply incriminating admissions on the undercover tapes, some of which have never been released publicly. This will be extremely discrediting for Planned Parenthood and Kamala Harris, DeLeiden said in the statement. According to Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel, DeLeiden and Merritt are the first undercover journalists in California history to be criminally prosecuted, indicating that this is nothing more than retaliation. The preliminary hearing is expected to last until September 17th. And finally, about 10 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, marking yet another week of below-average abortion numbers. Of the 10 women coming in for an abortion, two came from the neighboring state of Kentucky. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners continue to be on hand all day every Thursday to offer the women going in love, hope, and help so that they might turn away from the violent act of abortion. And that's your weekly In the News. So, Rhonda, here we are on the one-year anniversary of this locally produced pro-life show. What do you think so far?
This past year has truly been a blessing for us. No doubt there's been a lot of time and effort put into each of our shows. But, you know, I feel more inspired to put forth greater effort to end this culture of death that drives the violence and the attacks on our children and the tragic disregard for human life in our current world. We have had so many guests on our show that have helped us to better understand the suffering of those involved with abortion and the deceptive tactics of those promoting it. We have also presented a lot of our own research on topics to help us better understand why it is so important to end this culture of death that will rob millions of souls from eternal salvation.
All good points, Rhonda. Well, you've done a great job of coming right in and having had no radio experience, I have to say. And you were definitely at a disadvantage. I, at least, had been hosting the weekly Prayer Hour for Life on Thursday mornings there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. So at least I had some experience under my belt, which really was an asset. But I know this has certainly been challenging for both of us, but in a good way. We want to definitely thank Andre, the behind-the-scenes guy, for all the work that he does in editing these shows. He does his best to make us sound as good as possible, and that's no small effort, I can tell you. He and Bill Dunphy are the ones who came up with this idea for a local pro-life show to begin with. And when Andre approached me and asked if I could help out, I think I immediately just said yes without fully knowing what I was getting myself into. But I can honestly say that preparing for and doing these shows has truly helped me personally as well. I'm learning a lot, and I'm finding that motivation to keep rededicating my life to helping to spread the gospel of life and working for a civilization of life and love. So Rhonda, after I told Andre, yes, I'll do this, you know, my thoughts went to, I need a co-host, because that's not going to do to just have one person doing all the talking for a half hour.
Sure.
And you immediately came to my mind, lucky you, because you're well-spoken and you were doing good work in the pro-life movement here locally. So what thoughts went through your mind and heart when I first approached you about doing this show?
Well, at first, I felt very honored and privileged to be asked to co-host a show with you. It really sounded like a great idea and a way to educate those of us who want to end abortion. But then I think it sunk in a little that this was going to be no easy task. But God doesn't ask us to do anything that we cannot handle, and I felt He was calling me to do this ministry. So I said yes.
And I'm glad. Well, we went through a period, of course, of prayerful discernment for a couple of weeks, and that fell right at the time of the Feast of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe on August 14th. He, of course, is not only the patron of the pro-life movement, but also of media communication and radio, so it was a perfect fit. So we turned to his intercession for God's will to be done. And so after some prayerful discernment, we felt that, yes, God's calling us to this. And then the name of the show just came to us, kind of placed on our hearts, and we especially liked the play on words, pro-life to the max, meaning we want to do everything possible in our pro-life work to the maximum in order to help build up a culture of life and purity. And then also, we want the apostolate work that we do to sanctify our own souls to the max. And our prayer was that this show would serve to those ends for the glory of God. In addition, this pro-life show was being dedicated to and placed under the patronage of St. Maximilian, hence that little play on words to the max. So, Rhonda,
Linda, you and I have felt his guidance and prayers through all of this as he has opened up doors for us to get some great interviews with top pro-life leaders and others that are doing important work in the pro-life and chastity movement.
And Monica, I remember after taping our first two programs, we looked at each other and said, now what? And you said, well, let me see if we can get Steve Carlin from 40 Days for Life to do an interview with us next week, since the next 40 Days for Life campaign is coming up. And you contacted him, got a positive response back from him right away, and we interviewed him the following week, and then we were off and running.
Yeah. All we can say is that God must have wanted this, because everything just worked out, didn't it?
It sure did.
And that interview with Steve was a fun one and kind of put us at ease. And I remember him being a talker,
yes.
but we like that. Of course, one of our biggest interviews was with Abby Johnson this past January. And there's a neat little story about how that came about. It was a Thursday sometime late last year, and I was discussing this new show with Deacon Russ, and I knew he was getting ready to head down to Texas for a big Sidewalk Advocates for Life conference, and Abby was going to be there because she serves as a sort of program advisor to Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Well, anyway, I told Deacon Russ, hey, if you run into Abby Johnson, ask her if she would do us the favor of coming on our new pro-life show. I thought it was a long shot, but I also knew that Abby is very generous and will help out with requests if it's at all possible for her to do so. And Deacon Russ said he wouldn't mind tracking her down and asking. Well, Deacon Russ did get a chance to speak to her, and Abby said that she'd do it. Now, we had to be really patient because it did take a while to work it all out, but even amidst her incredibly busy schedule, which not only included all of her pro-life work and speaking engagements, but also, of course, all of her duties as a wife and mother to several kiddos, she found time to call in and be a guest on our show. And the timing was so perfect because it was in large part a preparation for her upcoming movie Unplanned, and she too was such a delight to speak with.
Well, we've done over 50 shows since we began last September, and I think the only week that a show hasn't aired was during Holy Week. And just about half of these shows have been interviews on, I think, a good variety of topics. I know we've heard from some of you about what have been your favorite shows, and each one seems to appeal to different people. Well, let's do a recap of the shows and interviews that we've done over the past year, Monica, and just add in a few comments. And by the way, in case you've missed a show or want to listen to a particular one again, all of the programs can be found on Womb Radio's website, which is conveniently wombradio.com. And if you have a favorite show, or if there's a topic you'd like to see covered, or any other comments or questions you may have, there's a place right on there where you can submit these, and we hope you'll take a moment to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so after the first three programs, which included that interview with Steve Carlin on 40 Days for Life, we did a show on September 28th on the release of the upcoming movie Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. Well, in that program, we talked about how the movie portrayed the FBI raid of a Philadelphia abortion clinic and its abortionist, Kermit Gosnell, and how what they found was horrifying. Gosnell routinely delivered babies who were alive, and he snipped their necks. He kept trophies of parts of the babies, little feet and hands in jars. He was responsible for the deaths of two women. This went on for years while the Department of Health and other official government agencies looked the other way. Cats were walking around in the clinic. A 15-year-old was serving as an anesthesiologist, and it took an undercover narcotics officer to finally investigate the atrocity, get this place closed down, and Gosnell jailed. But the story still continued to be ignored simply because it involved abortion. And so the making of this movie was vital because it was another way to get the story out there. And it would be good for us to revisit this sometime, Rhonda, and do another show on Gosnell, because it could go a long way, I believe, in helping end abortion.
It sure can.
And by the way, did you see the movie?
I haven't yet.
Okay, all right. I thought it was very good. It was not too gory.
Yeah.
It was very well done, I thought.
Okay. Well, after Gosnell came the interview with IU student Monica Richel, who was the president of Students for Life there on the campus of IU. Our next program focused on a Jericho March that was going to be held on a Thursday during the fall 2018 40 Days for Life campaign. And we helped make the connection between the Battle of Jericho described in Chapter 6 of the Book of Joshua, where the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant around the city walls seven times, and that of the plan to carry an image of the Ark of the New Covenant, the Blessed Virgin Mary, 7 times around the city block where Planned Parenthood is located. Then we did an important program explaining how the birth control pill and other hormonal contraceptives cause silent abortions. After that, we talked about the canonization of Pope Paul VI and how it was through miracles involving 2 mothers and their unborn babies that elevated him to the altar. The first week of November, we interviewed Marilyn Haywood, fertility care practitioner, and we heard from several of you that this was one of your favorites. And after that came shows about some of the good fruit being produced in Bloomington as a result of the 40 Days for Life campaigns.
And after that, to prepare for Advent, I interviewed Bernadette Conklin about her beautiful preborn Jesus ministry, and it gave us an opportunity to really ponder in our hearts the intimacy between the Blessed Virgin Mary and her unborn son for those 9 months when he lay in her womb. She told us about the artwork on her website and the profound theological insights behind it all. Then, of course, came a show on Our Lady of Guadalupe where we covered the story and some of the symbolism behind the image that Our Lady left on St. Juan Diego's tilma.
Next came a show on all the different abortion procedures, and we discussed what Indiana law does and does not permit in regards to abortion. And technically, abortion is legal during all 9 months of pregnancy here in Indiana, but with some significant limits. We also discussed how the abortion pill is becoming much more widely used both here in Indiana and nationally. Springing from that fact, the following week, Monica, you interviewed Dave Bangs, who coordinates the abortion pill reversal ministry here in Indiana. The one good side effect of there being an increase in the number of chemical abortions is that it opens up further opportunities to help save the life of the baby. If a woman has taken the first abortion pill and changes her mind, the reversal process may be able to help save the life of her unborn child, but treatment needs to be started as soon as possible after she has taken that pill. At the time Dave was interviewed, he said that around 500 babies had been saved throughout the country through the abortion pill reversal process, and 8 of those came from right here in Indiana. Well, the latest evidence now shows that there have been more than 750 lives saved through this reversal process.
Oh, praise God. Well, to end the month of December, we had Mark and Michelle Overholt from the One in Christ Marriage Preparation Program join us to talk about their ministry of helping engaged couples to prepare for the sacrament of matrimony, with a heavy emphasis on the church's teaching on human sexuality and the beautiful theology of the body. Then, to start this year off, we brought on Deacon Russ Wooder to talk about the sidewalk counseling ministry that we've got going on there at 421 South College Avenue. Deacon Russ told us about what motivated him to step it up, come out of his comfort zone, and get more involved in the pro-life movement. Mark Tuttle with Indianapolis Ride to Life followed, telling us about the second annual Indiana March for Life. And of course, after that was our special one-hour show with Abby Johnson.
Well, right around the January anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we dedicated a show to discussing this legal case and its companion, Doe versus Bolton, which legalized abortion for basically any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. The start of the new year also saw us once again interviewing Monica Richel from IU Students for Life so that she could tell us about their recent trip to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., this past January, and she could also let us know what pro-life efforts were going on there on the IU campus for the spring semester.
And then we were on to Tracy Windsor, co-founder of the organization Be Not Afraid, which offers life-affirming services and support to parents and their families who have been told that their unborn child has a defect or abnormality. We learned that Be Not Afraid is doing some incredible pro-life work by helping those parents who find themselves in difficult and challenging situations after receiving a prenatal diagnosis. So often the medical establishment rushes in to offer abortion as a solution, and Tracy and her apostolate are out there helping to counter this despair with hope and life-giving options instead.
Then it was time to do another program on 40 Days for Life as the Lenten campaign was coming fast. pun intended. We talked about how important the gift of faith is in these 40 Days for Life campaigns, as well as in the pro-life movement in general.
I think we mentioned Matthew 17:20. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. There's no doubt we need lots of faith to continue doing battle in the pro-life movement. We also know that we will not be the ones to end abortion, but only God can do it, and we have faith that He will.
We sure do. The next show on March 8th had us speaking with Bernie Roy, a volunteer for the Archdiocesan Post-Abortion Healing Ministry, Project Rachel. That was a hard interview because we got to hear firsthand about the devastating effects of abortion on women. We saw in Bernie an example of a woman who was transformed by the mercy and love of God as she returned to the church and to the sacrament of reconciliation and now helps other post-abortive women find life again too.
And because the new year brought with it a barrage of extreme abortion laws in several states, we decided to do a show and go deep by taking a look at what our spiritual attitude should be in the face of such evil and bad news. We looked at St. Maximilian's response to the evil he found himself in during the time in which he lived, and we reviewed a very helpful article penned by Father Paul Scalia, the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Father Scalia warned how important it is for Christians to always be asking ourselves, am I a part of the church militant or the church belligerent? In his article, Father reminds us that in any apostolate work we do, it is imperative that we remember that we are not out to win arguments or causes, but to love people to the truth. It's about the sanctification of souls, both ours and others. Heaven is always the ultimate goal.
Next, it was time to discuss the movie Unplanned, whose release was scheduled across the country for March 29th. Then, because of remarks defending an extreme abortion bill that had been made by the Democratic governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, we felt compelled to do a show on abortion survivors and infanticide. We took a look at a 1981 investigative report coming out of Philadelphia that was entitled The Dreaded Complication, When a Crying Baby Emerges Instead of a Lifeless Fetus, Doctors Have a Problem with No Easy Answer. Monica, we know that as long as abortions are done, there is always going to be the chance that a baby survives, and the medical community, politicians, and the citizenry are left to grapple with this reality and what their response will be. Unfortunately, based on remarks like that of Governor Northam and many other leaders of our country, it appears many are quite comfortable with heading down the path of infanticide.
Unfortunately, no surprise there, Rhonda. When the life of a human being in the womb is not held sacred and inviolable, it's not a huge jump to regard the life of a human being shortly after birth as having no guaranteed right to life either. It's that idea of the slippery slope. Well, moving along, the month of April started off with an interview of live action Allison Senafonte. Allison discussed the great work that Live Action is doing to help end abortion, and we discussed Planned Parenthood's complicity in the cover-up of underage sex and human trafficking. We talked specifically about the undercover investigation that Lila Rose did here, right here in Bloomington back in 2008, when a Planned Parenthood nurse told a young girl, whom she believed to be 13 years old, how to get around the law so that nothing would have to be reported to the Child Protection Agency. Another good topic to revisit sometime, Rhonda, this would be too. After that show, we dedicated a program to the issue of modesty and how this virtue is absolutely necessary to helping end abortion and bringing about a rebirth of purity and chastity.
We had a little break for Holy Week, and when we returned Easter week, we discussed the racism behind the push for abortion. Then we had a very informative show with Debbie Vintage and her organization, Children of God for Life. Debbie spoke with us about aborted fetal research and the production of vaccines and consumer products that make use of the tissues and cell lines of aborted babies. Debbie gave us lots of excellent information to form our consciences and to get involved in demanding the production of ethical vaccines.
And following on the heels of Debbie Vintage was our Mother's Day program, The Gift of Motherhood. The following week, we talked about the many fruits of the movie Unplanned. Then, we took some time to do a program on pondering the gospel of life in our hearts. In his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope St. John Paul II spoke eloquently about the necessity of developing a contemplative outlook in order to effectively embrace and proclaim its message. Rhonda and I discussed what this might look like in our lives. And the last week of May saw us interviewing Lauren Muzica, Executive Director for Sidewalk Advocates for Life.
Deacon Russ Woodard joined us again the first week of June as we talked together about how our sidewalk advocacy was going there at 421 South College Avenue. A chance to join this ministry was extended to all, with a training in sidewalk advocacy being held on June 15th. We converse about our hopes to get extended coverage going there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood.
Then we did an insightful program on abortionists and how the typical profile of an abortion doctor is rapidly changing. We spoke about some recent articles in a couple of major news outlets that had depicted a day in the life of an abortionist. Preparing the show for me, at least, that was eye-opening, and it was a reminder that we need to pray very much for the conversion of abortionists. Well, in the next two shows, we heard from research professor and director of the Child Protection Institute at Liberty University, Dr. Judith A. Reisman. And boy, what a couple of tough shows as we heard some sordid details about the research of Alfred Kinsey and the legacy that is still being carried on there at the Kinsey Institute on the campus of IU. Such important work Dr. Reisman has done in collecting all the evidence that implicates Kinsey in the criminal abuse of infants and children, as well as the moral destruction that he and his researchers have created in our country and world. Well, then it was on to our special 4th of July when Rhonda and I discussed the true meaning of freedom and the virtue of patriotism.
And then we followed up those interviews with Dr. Reisman a couple weeks later with a program on Our Lady of America and her call to purity. Now more than ever, we need to listen to her call to us, her children of America, to dedicate our lives to working for the cause of purity, first and foremost, by practicing this virtue in our own lives to a heroic degree. Then in preparation for Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, we interviewed Dr. Teresa Natare, Assistant Director of the NFP Program for the USCCB's Secretariat of Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth. Another interview with Marilyn Haywood came the following week in keeping with the NFP theme. Then came Mike Fichter, President and CEO of Indiana Right to Life, who caught us up to speed on how the battle for the right to life was going on right here in Indiana.
As the Feast of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe came upon us, we couldn't let a show slip by without once again delving into the incredible life of this martyr of charity. So we had Father Ignatius Manfredonia on to discuss the spirituality and life of this great saint. Our two most recent shows included yet another look at Alfred Kinsey in order to help prepare us for the upcoming symposium, which will feature Dr. Judith Reisman on September 20th. And of course, there was last week's fascinating show on the messages and prophecies of Our Lady of Good Success, which explains so much of what is going on in the church and the world today. Phew, okay, that's a lot of ground covered.
Yeah,
and
sure
I'm
is.
Worn out just by talking about it all. But what a grace-filled year and what a great time to be involved in the pro-life movement. So quickly, Rhonda, because we're running out of time, how would you say doing these shows have affected you?
Well, Monica, I feel more drawn than ever to continue in this pro-life effort and to really help end the battle that we face down there at 421 South College Avenue.
Amen.
So how about you, Monica?
Well, I've learned that I can always find time to do more, and I guess pro-life to the max might, you know, get it to the max, huh? There you go.
Okay. Well, we cannot tell you how grateful we are for all of your prayers and support. Continue to keep us in prayer as we do you. Here's to another great year for life that we pray will finally see the end of abortion. Thanks so much for being with us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.